1 Samuel chapter 2 tonight. Now, this is kind of strange. We've been preaching a series of messages out of Hebrews chapter 11, and we come to the last man over there that the roll call of faith deals with, and that's Samuel. And so we started a series inside a series talking about Samuel. And so as I was studying and I come across and look at Samuel's life, I happened upon Eli's life. And the Lord said, you're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to deal with Eli and the situation that he got himself into, or that he allowed some things and that to happen. I want to preach tonight with God being our helper on Eli, a man who chose his sons over God. And it cost him in the end. It cost him. And I want you to look tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to stand on our feet one more time. Just one verse tonight, and then you can sit down and rest. But we're going to reverence the reading of God's Word and the man who wrote it tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. And we want to tell you that we love you. And we thank you for these dear souls that's come tonight. Lord, I pray that they might get something from the Word of God. Pray they've already got a blessing from the singing. I sure have. And Lord, it's just been good to be here tonight. But as we preach, I pray for anointing afresh from heaven, that from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just thank you for saving us, and that we know that we're saved, just like we sung tonight. I pray for somebody here tonight that does not know that. They can come and get saved tonight and know that for all eternity. Help us now. I pray you'd help the one that's struggling, maybe the one that just needs some assurance, maybe somebody needs direction tonight. Pray they'd find it in you. I want to tell you again that we love you and we thank you. Save that sinner's nearest hell. Touch us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated tonight. The first time we ever see Eli in the Bible, we seen him there last week. I was over in chapter 1 when Hannah and Nat comes to pray there at the tabernacle for a son. We find that Eli, the Bible tells us there, is a priest. And we also find that Hophni, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons, are priests also. And he's allowing his sons and that to do some things that they shouldn't do. Now, let me tell you tonight that whether it is in your home or whether it is in this church, that how things are run should be run in that according to the Word of God. Everything should be run in a way that God would want it to be done. And there are just times that you're going to have to make hard decisions and that I'm going to have to make hard decisions as the pastor of this church. Some things that you may not want to do and I may not want to do, but we have to make them. As I was studying this message, I thought about a preacher friend of mine. He's been here to preach one other time over the years. He was having some trouble in his home and that with his children, with his boys. And he brought them into the living room one day and they were on up in age, and he set them down and set his wife down, and he said, look, this is how it's going to be. I was traveling with God long before I met you, and I still plan to travel with God, and that's how it's going to be in this house. Let me tell you tonight, that's what you probably need to do. Just determine that you're going to travel with God, and those inside your house are going to travel with you. Amen. Listen, once they get out on their own, there's some things that you can and cannot do. I understand that. But when they're at home and when they're under your rule and when things happen in this church, if you let me say that, then friend, it's my responsibility to see that things get done. But I want to look tonight. Hey, listen. In Luke chapter 15, you look about the prodigal. You can find that he wanted his inheritance. His father gave it to him. He packed a suitcase and he left. But his father didn't go get him. He let him go. Let me say tonight, to fix some things in a home and in a church, you've got to let some people go. Amen. I'm just being honest tonight. Listen, his father let him go. And I believe now, and you can believe what you want to. I believe he told him, son, the same road that took you out of here or that's taken you out of here can bring you back home. Any good godly daddy would tell their child that. Son, the door is always open. You just come and open it and you can come back home. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord does us the same way. Amen. Listen, if you want to get away from God, you can get away from God. But I'll tell you, the same road that's taken you away from God can bring you back to Him. Amen. And you can get right with God. Number one tonight, I want you to look at the position that Eli was in. First of all, he was in a prominent position. Eli was a priest. Eli was somebody in that served in the tabernacle. According to chapter 4 and verse 18, you'll find that he not only served in the tabernacle as a priest, but he judged Israel for 40 years. He was 98 years old when he died, and the Bible said that he judged Israel for 40 years, so he was 58 years old when he began to judge. You say, well, what's the deal about him being in a prominent position? First of all, God placed him there in that position as priest, just as He's placed you and your family in a place that you're supposed to guard your house and lead your house, whether it's mom and daddy here now. Listen, that's you, mom. Has got to do some things. Amen. We lay a lot at daddy's feet, but there's just sometimes mama's got to take the bull by the horns and cause some things to happen. Amen. That's just the way it is. Listen, Hannah, she had to take the bull by the horns over here and run over to the tabernacle to pray when her husband just didn't understand what was going on, did he? And so we find right here that he was in a prominent place. God had placed him there, and he was also there in a place where he could do something about it. See, Eli was in a place that where his sons, and that, I'm going to deal with them here in a minute, they were sinning against God and against the nation of Israel, but Eli was in a place where he could do something about it. And he chose not to. He was in a prominent place. But then I want you to look, he was also in a perceptive place. What do you mean he was in a perceptive place? He knew God. Eli knew God. Hey, you can't expect a lot in people's homes to be run right when they don't know God. You can't expect people's homes to be run right when all you've got in there is shallow Christians and baby Christians that have never grown in the Word of the Lord. You can't expect it to be run right. But listen, Eli's got enough age on him. He's the priest. God's laid out for him what he wants him to do and how to live. Listen, he had enough perception and that to tell Hannah, listen, the God of heaven, the God of Israel, or grant your request. He had enough perception about him how when God was calling Samuel that he knew it was God that was speaking to Samuel. He knew enough about God to know those things, but yet he still refused to take care of what God would want him to do. Can I tell you tonight, most of you ought to have enough growth on you in how to run your home. Right. Amen. You've sat under enough Bible preaching over the years that you ought to not have enough about you on know how to run your home. But knowing how and doing it is two separate things. You know that the home is ruined today because people just won't take leadership in it. They're afraid to. And I really believe as we look at Eli's life, we're going to find out that he was just simply and that afraid to do what needed to be done. Because it's hard. I still think about my preacher friend. Just set them boys down and said, I was traveling with God long before you came along. I'm still going to travel with Him. Reckon how hard that was to do. Now, I'm being honest tonight. Reckon how hard it would be to take your children when they're teenagers and rebelling against you and against God and against God's Word and the man of God and take them in there and say, look, I've traveled with God all these years and I ain't about to quit now. I want you to look at the problem. Eli was a man that was in a great position that could do something. That's what I'm trying to tell you now. It's not that he wasn't in a position where he couldn't do anything. He was in a position where he could. And do you realize tonight when you get in a position where you can do something about number two, the problem, God expects you to tonight. Now, if you look, the problem was, as I read it for a text verse in verse 12, that now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now, if you go back and you look in verse 3 of chapter 1, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. They had no business to start with being priests of the Lord. Eli, when he knew that they were sons of Belial, what's that mean to be sons of Belial? You can look in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 13, the very first time that we find the mention of Belial. And the Bible says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. These were men that were not true to God. They wanted to serve other gods. They did not care about serving God. And yet here Eli let them remain priests of the God of heaven. Now listen, this is beginning to create some problems. That word Belial literally means worthless or wicked. If you look in chapter 2, you'll find out that in verse 13, I believe it is, look right here with me. After it said, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, they knew not the Lord. Now what a testimony that they didn't know God. Now that was their problem, they didn't know the Lord. Now you can't expect sinners to do right. You can't expect lost folk to do right. But I do believe that you can expect saved folk to do right. Say amen right there. Amen, preacher. I think that you and I should be able to expect saved folk to do right. So in verse 13, the Bible said, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in the seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or pot. And all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desires, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, if you go back and you look in the Old Testament, or you go back and you look at how that God set up and that the service in the tabernacle, and how the priest was the lead, how he was to commit the sacrifice. When somebody came to the door of the tabernacle and committed that sacrifice, that meat was to be cooked in a certain way and to be took, and then part of it was to be given and that to the man of God. You ever heard the saying, if a man's going to preach the gospel, let him live with the gospel. He talks about if he's going to serve at the altar, then he is to eat at the altar. That's how the Old Testament priests were fed. They were fed in that by the meat that come off the altar and the showbread that was given day in and day out. That's what they ate. And God had a certain way. You can go back and look and see that God had a certain way and a certain time for those men to get that meat. And so what they were doing is they were taking things wrong right here, that what they were supposed to do. And they said, we're going to take ours up front. And said, if any man said to him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently and take as much as thy soul desires, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I'll take it by force. He said, look, if you don't give me what I want now of that sacrifice to be able to cook and eat the way that I want to, then I'm going to take it anyway. I want you to look at what the Bible said right there that caused. Wherefore the sin, now look at the Bible said it was sin. The way they dealt with the sacrifice was sin. Well, it's bad that they took something that God had instituted and was lovely to him, and that he said had a sweet smelling savor to him, and they turned it into sin. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. Now look what it said. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. I know of a church right now, there's problems inside the church, and they've kind of just swept it under the rug. And they keep sweeping it under the rug, and people hate to come to church. Because all that's being done is that problem is continuing. Just those that know about the problem, knows that the preacher won't handle the problem, and those that can help won't help. And so they just continually sweep it under the rug. And you know what that's causing people to do? Abhor going to church. And right here, men abhorred the sacrifice. something that God had set up to do, something that they were to do. And the problem was because these men were wicked men, men of the devil, worthless men, that it caused the children of Israel to hate the sacrifice. They took advantage of and cheated the children of Israel. Not only did they do that, if you look in verse 22, the Bible said, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel." Now, so he heard, he knew, Eli knew what was happening. Okay, now you need to keep that in your mind. And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So not only have they messed up, or let me say this, they have violated and perverted and that the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of the Lord, now they're committing fornication and that with them women that assemble themselves at the tabernacle door. Now if you go back and you look into the book of Exodus, you'll find that as Moses and that made all the instruments and that for the tabernacle, in Exodus 38:8, it said, "And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now they had some women that and I ain't sure I got all of it figured out yet, but would stay at the tabernacle, kind of like Anna was in Luke chapter 2. If you read about Luke chapter 2, you remember that lady that was a widow all them years and she served down at the temple. There were some women that served at the tabernacle outside the door there. And so they had given their brass looking glasses. And by the way, that's a mirror, by the way, if you don't know. And he had taken that to make the laver and all those things in Exodus 38. And they assembled there to serve at the tabernacle. But there were some women that were serving at the tabernacle that were not the best of women. And so the Bible said right here that Hophni and Phinehas, they were committing fornication with those women that assembled themselves at the tabernacle door. Now that's sexual impurity is what that's referring to. Amen. That's a broad word. That's a broad term that I encourage you young people and old people and that to avoid. Amen. Listen, you can read the book of Proverbs. Solomon over and over and over again warns his children of that very sin. Take your Bible tonight and go look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about fornication in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me see if I can get over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now these are some big things that Eli needs to deal with. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now I want you to look what the Apostle Paul said. Well, let me back up. Verse 15. "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ?" He asked the question, "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication." Now did you catch that right there? Flee fornication. Don't deal with it. Don't try to handle it. He says, run away from it. Young men, young ladies, run away from fornication. Amen. You find yourself in a position that ain't good, run away. Just run away. That's just the best thing to do. When Paul said to flee fornication, run away from it. It'll keep you out of trouble. Amen, preacher. That's right. Hey, listen, young people, you need to listen to me tonight. Going to get you in trouble. Churches eat up with fornication things going on inside and outside churches tonight. Preacher won't preach. Mom and dad won't take care of it. Listen, folk don't understand the danger and of that whole thing right there. He said, "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." He said, that is a sin against the body. Fornication, that sexual impurity, is a sin against the body. It brings turmoil in the body. It can bring disease into the body. It's going to scar the mind at the least of all those things that you've done. So, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God and you have not your own? Now the world will teach you and TV will teach you that fornication and adultery is okay, but it is not. Hey, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, that marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So we find that Eli's boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they're laying with these women that assembled themselves at the tabernacle door of the congregation. So they have violated God's law, and that in the very fact of the sacrifice. They've got worship messed up. Can I tell you, a lot of folks got worship messed up today? You can't go into every church and have church. I just can't do it. I like coming to church and having church. I like to know that it's about Him. Amen. I love that we sing and I love that we praise and I love that we preach, but it should be all about Him. And I'm going to tell you, not every church you go into is about Him. Amen. Some people, I'm beginning to wonder if they know Him. It's kind of like these men right here. Hophni and Phinehas were men of Belial, the Bible said. And so they had perverted, they just didn't care about what God had set up and that for the sacrifice. They were committing fornication and that with those women that was at the tabernacle door. And here's the thing. There was men and women in the nation of Israel that wanted to do right. And they couldn't do right because Hophni and Phinehas wouldn't let them do right. I mean, they were perverting the sacrifice. I mean, that's why it says, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, it said in verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, what's verse 23? Listen, we see the problem, and now you're going to see a presentation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not in the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. So you see, Eli makes his presentation. He said, boys, he said, look, I've heard from all of Israel what you're doing. I know what you're doing with the sacrifice. I know how you're cheating the people. You're taking part of that sacrifice before that don't belong to you. And not only are you doing that, but you're laying with them. You're committing fornication with these women laying at the tabernacle door. He said, you're doing these things. And look what he says right here. He said, it is no good report. You're making the people of God and that to transgress. And he warns them right here. And he said, look, if you transgress one for another, the judge will judge it. But if you transgress sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Well, this ain't nobody. I mean, the Lord's going to have to do the entreating at that point. So Eli warns them. He presents it to them. But he don't change anything. Hunter, it would be like if you done wrong. And your daddy just come to you and said, Hunter, you're doing wrong. Let me tell you, when my daddy came to me to tell me that I was doing wrong, there was something coming after the part that I was doing wrong.
That's right.
Amen. I'll just be honest with you. Now, as I got a little older, he might tell me I was doing wrong and then wait to see what I did. And you've got to remember the position that Eli was in. Eli just didn't find this out today. Eli's known about this for a while. And can I tell you, when you know about something for a while in your home, or if I know something... Now listen, don't ever mistake my long suffering and my searching for wisdom for a lack of not going to do anything. Don't ever do that. Because I understand sometimes the seriousness of action needs response now. And sometimes we can wait and see what's going to happen. I just have to have some wisdom on that situation. And so we look right here, the presentation is made to Eli's sons. He makes it his self, but he does not do anything about it. You say, well, why do you think it matters that he didn't do it? Why do you think God wanted him to do something about it? Look in verse 27. The presentation comes to Eli from the Lord. Verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thy house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to offer upon my altar to burn incense to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto him the house of thy father all the offerings that made by the fire of the children of Israel? I mean, the man of God just comes in. He's asking question after question after question. He said, didn't I put you where you're at? Didn't God raise up the Levitical tribe to make him the priest and to serve in the tabernacle and to do? Didn't I do this? Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice? And did you not look here? Wherefore kick ye? He's talking to Eli. He is putting Eli in the same position that his boys are in. He is blaming Eli for that situation. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now look what he said. Now watch. Look, well, let's go back and read it again. He said, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. God said, you've honored your sons. What did God want him to do? How did Eli honor his sons above God? He went and told them what they were doing was wrong. God expected Eli to take care of the situation. God expected Eli to stop what they were doing. Why did God expect Eli to stop what they were doing? Because he was in a position where he could. And if he cannot do it by himself, I guarantee you there were some other priests. I guarantee you there were some other Levites. There were some other people of the nation of Israel that could have helped him and would have been happy to help him. Where we at? Wherefore, verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and them and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So God said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. But if you won't, I want you. He said, behold, now here comes the judgment. He said, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons of Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house and shall walk before mine anointed forever. Now let me say right there, we could spiritualize that and say that's Jesus Christ the Lord. Now he done that, but I really believe he's referring to Samuel right there. I believe that's who he's referring to is Samuel. He's going to raise him up a faithful priest. But listen, Christ is a faithful priest that you can trust tonight, amen, to save your soul if you're not saved. Verse 36, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office that I may eat a piece of bread. What's God saying? I'm going to cut your posterity off. He's saying your family's no more going to be in the priestly tribe. I'm not going to let them serve in the tabernacle. There's not going to be an old man and that live. I'm going to cut them off. Let me say right here, as I read this and I thought about this, I believe Eli still could have done something. God has brought judgment, but I believe he's told him about judgment, but I believe Eli still could have done something. Well, I know God. He is a long-suffering God. Hey, listen, you remember 1 Kings chapter 16, the latter part of it, said that Ahab done more to provoke God to anger than any other king before him. And after he married Jezebel and they had all that Baal worship and all those things that went on, God sends the man of God down there to him to tell him judgment is coming. And the Bible says that Ahab repented and went about softly. And God led him. God let him repent, and he said, I'm not going to fulfill these things that I told him in his day. I'll fulfill them in his son's days. So what I'm saying is that I believe that if Eli would have done something then, even after judgment was rained or told was coming, I believe judgment would have come. I just believe God would have stayed it off. God has expected, you know, there's just sometimes that God expects you to do something because it's the right thing to do, and you know that it's the right thing to do. I don't have to preach on it. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to open your Bible and say, God, is this what I need to do? If there's things wrong in your home, men, you need to fix them. Ladies, if there's things wrong with your children, men, and ladies, you need to fix them. I'm just telling you, you need to fix them. You need to fix your home. If there's something wrong in this church, I need to fix it. Amen. And if I can't fix it, then I need to get me some men along with me that can fix it. Amen. Ain't this good tonight? Amen. Y'all thought this morning was tough. I'm just glad to see y'all back after this morning. Man, that was a little rough this morning. Well, now I want you to look at the performance that happens. Look in chapter 3. Now, God used the man of God the last time to deliver judgment. And Samuel has grown enough here now that God uses Samuel. For lack of better words, another way to say it, God has turned him into the man of God at this point. And so if you look in verse 11, after the Lord calls him, Samuel, Samuel, you know, and Eli said, just go lay down, and if you hear him speak to you again, here's what I want you to say, speak for thy servant heareth. And so in verse 11, and the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all that which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile. Now watch what your Bible says. And he restrained them not. God expected Eli to restrain them. He did not expect the people of Israel to do it. He didn't expect the preacher to do it. I can't run your house. You got to run your house. I got my house to worry about. I got my life to worry about. I got this church to worry about. You've got your house. You got to do it. Can I tell you, I don't care if it's your children, your grandchildren, if you've got rule and control over them, you ought to do right with them. You just don't know, preacher. I know that you can take the bull by the horns and fix it. It may get ugly, but you can do it. So here he is. God expected Eli to do something. He said, now look, he said, he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn in the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. What's God saying? When I start, there's going to be no remedy when I get done. There's no remedy right here. He has let it go too far. You know, there's times in life that you can let things go too far in your home and in your life. And I can let things go too far. And we can let things go too far here in this church. And there just ain't no remedy that we're going to have to reap the judgment because it just wouldn't be took care of. You know what happens if you keep sweeping enough stuff under the rug? What happens? Seriously, what happens? There's a great big lump gets under the rug, ain't there? And you'll trip on it. That's exactly right. You'll trip on that lump and you'll hurt yourself. And all you had to do was just sweep up the dirt and take care of it and move on. You say, well, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Right's right and wrong's wrong. I'll have mercy. But listen, when these boys right here, and these were Eli's sons, and God expected him to handle this thing. You know, in the Old Testament, under the law, if there was a rebellious son that just rebelled against his mother and father, and just wouldn't listen, wouldn't heed to the law. He said, you bring him before the elders and tell them that he's a drunkard and all this stuff and just want to abide by the law, and they'll take him out and stone him. Ain't that tough? Would you do your own children that way? God ain't asking Eli to do that to his children. God's asking them to remove them. Put them in place. Put them in their place. So God told him, said, look, here's what you should have done. He comes to Samuel. Sometimes Bible don't tell us exactly how long that it's been at this point. I believe it's been, you can look into things, it's been about 6 or 7 years probably, has elapsed between when he told Eli this first and when he tells Samuel this second. If you can believe the timeline that sometimes you get put in the Bible there. But there has a time passed. And he came and he said, look, Samuel, you tell him there's going to be no remedy now. I've let it go. It's still going the same way that it was. Nothing's been done. And there's no remedy. It's going to happen. So if you look in verse 18, Samuel tells Eli. The Bible says Samuel told him every whit. And he had nothing from him. And he said, and here's what Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He knew he was just fighting a losing battle. I mean, Eli is pushing 98 years old at this time. And he knew that he couldn't change God's mind. If you look in chapter 4, God brings that judgment to pass. The Philistines show up. I mean, Samuel's got some age on him at this time because the Bible said the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel's grown at this time. So Eli's got some age. Hophni and Phinehas have got age on them, but they're still doing the exact same thing that they've been doing for 20 years at least. They're still doing it. Tell me God ain't long-suffering. Amen. Tell me God ain't long-suffering. He said, but there won't be no remedy. If you read in verse 2, you'll find that the Philistines came. There was 4,000 men killed. If you read in verse 10, you'll find that they come again. There's 30,000 men killed. And Hophni and Phinehas at this point have got the Ark of the Covenant. And they went to fight against the Philistines. The Philistines, they're scared when they see that the Ark of the Covenant is coming into the battle. And I mean, they're afraid. And they finally just said, we're going to be men. We're going to go to battle. That's what the Philistines said. Read your scripture. And when they go to battle, God allows Israel to lose. Kills 30,000 men. Hophni and Phinehas dies. And the Philistines get the Ark of the Covenant. I want to show you something about Eli. Verse 11 said, and the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. God said that's going to happen. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh, and the same day, with his clothes rent, with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. Now watch this right here. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. Then tremble for Hophni and Phinehas. Think about that for just a second. He knew, well, I don't know how much he loved them. I don't know. I think he loved them enough because they were his boys. But I'm going to tell you what, I do think that Eli still had a little bit in his heart for God. Sometimes I just think Eli just wouldn't take the bull by the horns. And he just wouldn't handle the situation. Bible didn't say that he trembled for his boys, but he trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, and he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel's fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. Now watch this right here. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God. Now when he made mention of Hophni and Phinehas, But when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck broke and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. I kind of wonder if Eli might have thought that judgment was stayed. Because what started way back over here, see, the way us preachers preach it a lot of times, if you don't fix it now, tomorrow's going to be the problem. It may not necessarily be the problem tomorrow, but 10 years from now. Because you didn't handle it today. 10 years down the road, you're going to reap out some things. 15 years down the road, you're going to reap out something. And you know what? You can't fix it then. You just can't. And tomorrow may be the problem. But I want you to look, Eli, I honestly believe he never got worried. He never got concerned about them boys because he had come, I believe he'd come to peace with what God had said. God had told him, boys are going to die. He said, well, whatever seems good to God. Verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. Boy, that was a bad day, wasn't it? Think about that for just a second. Think about her. She's got a child coming. The ark's gone. The power of God, the presence of God. Her father-in-law, who was the priest, is now dead. And her husband has been killed in the battle all in one day. And she gets all that information at one time. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You know, all that could have been avoided a long time ago. One man had to take the bull by the horns and take care of problems. And if he would have, I believe it would have fixed itself. Well, I mean, it wouldn't have fixed itself. He would have had to have fixed it. God does expect us to fix some things sometimes. God expects you to fix things in your home. God expects me to fix things in my home. God expects me to fix things in my life. Sometimes I don't have to pray about it. Sometimes I don't have to read my Bible about it. I already know what's got to be done. Just got to do it. Listen, Eli didn't have to go to God and say, well, Lord, do you want me to remove these boys from it? No, he didn't have to do that. He could look at them. He knew what was going on. All he had to do was remove them. But because he chose them over the Lord, that's what got him in trouble. You know, when we choose other things over the Lord, whether it's your children or whether it's, in my case, whether it's one family over another at the church or another problem, and because I just don't want to handle, maybe I just don't want to handle it. Maybe you just don't want to handle it. Would it be easier, preacher, if I just didn't have to handle it? That ain't life, though. Sometimes things just got to be dealt with in your home. And if Eli would have just dealt with what had to be dealt with, I believe he could have saved himself a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of trouble. Let's bow our heads tonight.